of Exodus, Exodus chapter 24. This evening, Exodus chapter 24. Moving on to higher ground with the Lord, that's the topic of our sermon this evening. Moving on to higher ground with the Lord. We have come to the end of this section dealing with the Mosaic Covenant. From chapters 19 to 23, and at the heart of this covenant that God made with Moses was obedience equals blessing, disobedience equals curse. Simple as that. A conditional covenant that God revealed to Moses to share with the people of God. In chapter 20, from the basis of the Ten Commandments, God gave Israel some practical guidelines for daily living. And here we come to chapter 24, and God calls for a formal commitment to this covenant. Let's read here in Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And then we will pray. Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." Let's pray. O God, we bless you and we are thankful for the reminder this evening that we are victorious in Jesus Christ. O God, please teach us from your word this evening how we can move to higher ground for your sake and for your glory. What we ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The promise there in Exodus chapter 6, please, if you go back to Exodus chapter 6, gives us where we're at in Exodus chapter 24, this final stage or final phase for God's people. Note there in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, it reads, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." In Exodus chapter 24, God calls for a formal commitment to this covenant. And the reason why he calls for this commitment is that from chapter 24 onwards, we move on to the third and final stage or phase that this book deals with. We have studied chapters 1 to 18 that deal with God redeeming his people out of Egypt. And then from chapters 19 to 22, the Mosaic Covenant, God gives his people a code of conduct, how to live before God and fellow man. And it's within chapter 24, all the way to the end of the book of Exodus, God determines to dwell with his people. This is that final phase. So chapters 1 to 18 deals with God delivering God's people out of Egypt. Then chapters 19 to 23, God gives his people a code of conduct. This is how you are to live. And now we are in chapter 24, and from here to the end of the book of Exodus, the emphasis is on God's determination to dwell with his people. Now, throughout the book of Genesis, we read that God walked with his people. We note there in Genesis chapter 3 how God came down and walked in the garden seeking Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis, we read of God walking with Noah. Noah walked with God. And also we read of Enoch walked with God. But now we come to that phase of where God determines, I'm going to dwell amongst my people. God wants to dwell with his people. And from this chapter onwards, the focus is on the design, the construction, and the dedication of a dwelling, a tabernacle. This will be the means by which God will dwell with his people. A picture of what was to come and has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can have life in Christ, be born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and be the very tabernacle, the dwelling place, the temple of God. So it's because of this new phase of tabernacle worship that God calls for a recommitment. And that is the essence of chapter 24. In my Bible, at the beginning of the chapter, it reads the covenant affirmed, or a recommitment. Recommitment. It is necessary and it is expected for you and I to recommit our lives to God. The need to recommit our lives to the Lord on a regular basis is necessary and it is expected. With every new chapter within your life and my life, God expects commitment. God expects recommitment. The fulfilling of a ministry, for example, commitment. In marriage, commitment. In raising children, commitment. So this idea of commitment is something that God demands of you and I regularly, and every chapter of our lives involves you and I making that recommitment. That recommitment. And that's the essence of this chapter. Commitment to the Lord is summed up there in the very first verse, where God said to Moses, come up unto the Lord. I thought that was a pretty good definition of commitment. Come up unto the Lord. Recommitting our lives, coming up unto the Lord. Commitment to the Lord is all about you and I coming up to God's expectations and not trying to set and live according to our own expectations. So what's involved in moving on to higher ground for the Lord? Well, that involves commitment. And we see here first and foremost in the second and third verse that God calls us all to personally commit, or personally to recommit. Note there once again there in verse number 2 that Moses alone shall come near the Lord, the Bible says. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Then note verse number 3, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Verses 1 and 2 connect us back to what was said there in chapter 20, please. Go back to chapter 20, verse 21. It reads, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. See, when God called Moses to ascend up the mount, here God addresses Moses and he commands him to come alone. And Moses alone shall come near unto the Lord. At the base of the mount, not wanting to get too close to God, the people waited. And then we read of Moses moving up higher with his men there in verse number 1. And then in verses 13 to 14, we read of Moses with Joshua moving up higher. And finally, Moses went alone up higher and saw the glory of God from verses 15 to 17. See, as individuals, we need to make commitments alone. We need to be prepared to make commitments alone. If you and I are to move to higher ground spiritually, you need to decide, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus Christ. No matter what others are doing or not doing, I'm going to commit my life fully to God. And I think that's summed up here in that word alone. And Moses alone shall come near unto the Lord. As individuals, we need to make commitments alone, not based upon what others are doing or not doing. God called Moses to come near, alone, on Mount Sinai. I think of Abraham. God called him alone to leave the comfort of his home and to go to a land yet to be revealed unto him. These individuals had to lead the charge of commitment alone, and then others would follow. I think of Moses was prepared to commit to God alone, and Aaron jumped on board. And then we read there in verse number 3, as Moses came down with the word of the Lord, that the people said, all the words which the Lord have said, we will do. See, God holds us all personally responsible for all that we do or don't do. So don't waste your time pointing to others and say, well, I'll be committed if so-and-so's committed. I'll be committed if so-and-so's committed. No, you and I need to decide alone. I'm going to commit my life to Jesus Christ. You and I need to be prepared to sing the old hymn which goes to this effect, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And God challenged Moses to follow God alone, and God led Moses to that highest point because God knew that with this one man, if this man would commit to leadership and he would make a commitment to his God, then he will be that example that is needed for others to follow. Moses comes back and tells the people, and they affirm their obedience to God's word. See, it was Moses' example in commitment that was the means by which God's people were willing to follow. So if you and I want to move on to higher ground for the Lord, you and I need to be prepared to commit alone. Don't worry about the person seated beside you or in front of you or behind you or 10 rows to the side of you. No, you commit. You commit. No doubt the people were watching Moses. In the same way people are watching you, people are watching me. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be thou an example. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. as that beautiful hymn reads. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. You and I need to personally commit to God. If you want to move on to higher ground, then you and I need to personally commit and recommit our all to Him. See, God called for Moses to come up near alone. God deals with us personally, personally. And you and I need to make that commitment. And then we move on in verses 4 and 5 and we note the principle of worship. Moving on to higher ground spiritually involves you and I personally committing. No matter what others are doing, doesn't matter. But you and I commit our hearts to the Lord. Note then verse 4 and 5 that it reads, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill. And 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord." So after Moses spends time with the Lord, and then he communicates God's word to the people, we read in verse number 4 that he builds an altar for worship. And with this altar, he mounts 12 stones, one for every tribe of Israel. We have not only seen the need to commit to the Lord personally, now we see the priority of worship. When it comes to moving on to higher ground, beloved, you and I need to understand that we will move no higher spiritually than our worship. Our worship of the Lord. With the mounting of the 12 stones, it was a reminder that all of God's people need to maintain worship as a priority. How is your worship personally before the Lord? Collectively before the Lord? Are we worshiping God in spirit and in truth? How often God's people were guilty of going through the motions of worship without truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth? That's what the book of Malachi is all about. How God's people went through the motions of even offering expensive sacrifices, but God rebuked them because he was looking upon their hearts, and he rebuked them concerning their acts of worship without a heart of worship. And we see within the building of this altar, in verse number 5, we read of two offerings, a burnt offering and a peace offering. These offerings give us some insight into the kind of worship that God requires. The burnt offering was an offering of full consecration, full surrender. Jesus Christ gave his all, so should you and I give our all to him. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. So this burnt offering communicates consecration, full surrender. Are you fully surrendered? Are we fully surrendered? Are we fully consecrated? And then we read of a peace offering there in verse number 5. This was an offering of reconciliation, to be reconciled. To be reconciled with God, to be right with God, and to be right with fellow man. So an offering of surrender, an offering that communicates reconciliation. To be right with God, and to be right with fellow man. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, tells us that our fellowship one with another is really with Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This peace offering, this offering of reconciliation, being right with God, this burnt offering, this surrender, this full consecration, being right with God and right with fellow man. As it reads there in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus made this statement. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We are experts of being hypocrites. Matthew chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus, knowing the heart of man, made this statement here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. See? Peace offering, burnt offering, this principle of worship. After Moses spends time with God and he communicates God's word to his people, the Bible teaches us he builds an altar and he orders the offering of an offering of full sacrifice and an offering of reconciliation. Reconciliation. And then we note there in verse number 7, please, back in Exodus chapter 24. So to move to that higher plane spiritually, there needs to be personal commitment. There needs to be recommitment. There also needs to be worship. Worship from a heart that's fully surrendered. Worship from a heart that is right with God and right with fellow man. But also note here in verse number 7, please, another principle. Exodus 24:7 reads, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. So we note here in verse number 7 that Moses reads the covenant, the Mosaic covenant before the people. And God's people commit to the details of this covenant. They commit to obey. Obey. God was calling for specific obedience to all that God commanded. And Moses very wisely took the book of the covenant and read the covenant, read the word of God before the people. God was calling for specific obedience to all that God had commanded. God's people were called to obey fully. How true it is that we know far more than what we do. We know far more than what we do. And this is why attention is given to bringing to remembrance the word of God. Throughout the scriptures we read of statements like, remember, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Remember, the Apostle Paul said a number of times, I bring to your remembrance, because we're forgetful. It's a sinful nature issue. Yes, it's more of an issue as you get a little bit older. At least that's the excuse that we like to use. But all of us are prone to forget. And we see here that Moses reads the book of the covenant before the people, that they might be mindful and give attention to all that God has said and to obey. And I'm mindful of scriptures like Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, it reads, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, be reminded according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And what about Psalm chapter 1? Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, how is that ever possible? Well, verse 2 is the key. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Because it's the word of God that will grant warning concerning that which is ungodly, and that which is the way of sinners, and that which is the way of the scornful. You and I need to spend time in the Word of God, lest we forget. Do this in remembrance. We make that statement so often and regularly at the table of our Lord. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Why? Because we are prone to forget. We are prone to forget. And the point I want to make is simply this. If you and I want to move higher spiritually, then you and I need to give attention to the Word of God. See, Moses wisely took the book of the covenant and read in the presence of God's people. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, so that God's people would be mindful, this is what the Word of God teaches, and this is what I need to obey. And that's why you and I need to be diligent in reading and meditating in God's Word on a daily basis. You and I, if you really want to move on to higher ground spiritually, we need to make it a priority to read the Word of God every day and meditate therein, lest we forget. Lest we forget. 2 Timothy 2:14, the Apostle Paul said, "Of these things, put them in remembrance." We need to be reminded. Repetition is a key to effective learning. Reading, meditating, remembering, obeying. We know far more than what we do. That's the reality. And that's why we need to regularly read and meditate in God's Word. Keep the Word of God in the forefront of our minds so that we can diligently obey. So if you want to move higher for the Lord, recommit. Make sure your worship is right, that you are fully surrendered, that you are right with God, right with fellow man, and give attention to the Word of God. Keep the Word of God before you, because it's a reminder of what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And then note there in verse number 8, Exodus chapter 24, verse 8, it reads, "And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." We see in verse number 6, the blood was collected from the sacrifices. Half of it was sprinkled on the altar. And here in verse number 8, we read the other half of the blood was sprinkled on the people. And note that wording there. Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Why the blood sprinkled on the people? The Bible teaches us that life is in the blood. A wonderful picture of salvation. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2 reads, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." We have been sprinkled, blood applied to our lives when we receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. The blood has been sprinkled, so to speak. Now, blood was involved in making a formal covenant. A covenant is a formal contract. And the Bible reads there back in Exodus 24:8 that the blood was sprinkled on the people. Why? Well, it goes on to explain, as we read, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all of these words. We make formal covenants or contracts in writing. We make reference to putting it in writing. In biblical times, formal contracts, covenants were made with blood. And there was a reason for that. Go to Genesis chapter 15, please. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 to 10. God promised Abraham a land and he signed it off in blood. Note here in verses 5 to 10 of Genesis 15. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." This is the promise that God made to Abraham. "And Abraham," it reads in verse 6, "and he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness." This is his salvation experience. Verse 7, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it." And then Abraham responds in verse 8, and he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know? What promise are you going to make to me that I shall inherit the land?" Fair enough question. Verse 9, "And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she or female goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not." So therefore there was a channel of blood between. "And when the fowls came upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away." See, God promised Abraham a land and he signed it off in blood. And God and Abraham walked through that blood, signifying their commitment to that covenant. So God said to Abraham, "I want you to take these animals and I want you to kill them and slice them in half and put half on each side so that the blood will flow in between. And you and I will walk through the blood, and that will be my commitment to you, Abraham, that I will give you what I have promised." The blood signifying that commitment to the covenant. So why blood? The blood was taken from that which was alive and then killed. So will be he that doesn't keep the covenant. They will pay with blood. Their life is in jeopardy. And this is the commitment that God was making to Abraham. Abraham, you are calling for a commitment. Here's my commitment. We will shed blood. We will walk through blood. And the blood's upon me if I keep not the covenant. The blood's upon you if you keep not the covenant. A blood covenant was a serious commitment between two individuals saying to one another, if I don't keep my side of the deal, blood will be upon me. That's a covenant. That's what God promised Abraham. And this is what God expects of you and I, that we would make serious commitments to Jesus Christ. The seriousness of God's expectation is evident here. Beloved, if you and I seriously want to move to higher ground, we need to get serious about serving the Lord. We need to get serious about living for Jesus Christ. We need to get serious. If we want to move onto higher ground in our lives, we need to take God seriously. He promises to bless obedience, and He will judge disobedience. We need to take seriously the things of God. It just seems to me that most Christians do not take their Christian life seriously. It's a take it or leave it issue. It's a clock on, clock off, here, there, a lack of seriousness. And if you and I are serious about moving on to higher ground, we need to take God seriously. We need to take His word seriously. We need to take it seriously to live for Jesus Christ. And if we take God seriously, if we'll take God seriously, we will commit, fully commit, no matter what anybody else is doing. Doesn't matter. Commit. Commit. We'll worship. Worship God fully. Worship God with a right heart. We will give attention to God's word. Make sure the word of God is in the forefront of our minds so that we can be diligent in obeying it, because we are called to remembrance. And we take God seriously, that God expects a commitment. And that's why we have the example here of a blood covenant. And that's why we read there in Exodus chapter 24 that the blood was to be sprinkled on the people, because this was a picture. Behold the blood of the covenant, verse 8, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So God was saying to His people, I'm committed to you. God's committed to us. That's without doubt. Are we committed to Him? That's the issue, isn't it? Talk to me. No issue on God's side. He is committed. He is eternally committed to you and I. But are we committed to Him? And if you and I want to move on spiritually, we need to take God seriously. We need to be committed. We've been studying in Ephesians the fact that we are rich spiritually in Jesus Christ. And for God's people to live below the spiritual poverty line is a shame. It's just a shame. We are the ones to decide how high we want to go spiritually. God invited Moses. God said to Moses, come up unto the Lord. Come up unto the Lord. God invites you. God invites me to move on to higher ground. Let's never settle for status quo in the Christian life. All of us need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as God said to Moses, come up, let's take this challenge personally, and let's move on to higher ground spiritually. What's involved? Recommitment. Genuine worship. Attention to God's word, keeping it at the forefront of our minds so we can diligently obey. Reading, meditating therein. And last but not least, taking God seriously. That's why God commanded the sprinkling of the blood over the people. God was serious. God was committed. The issue is, you and I, are we willing to be committed to Him? And if you and I want to move on to higher ground spiritually, we need to take God seriously and make a commitment to Him. Let's pray.